Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Show, live from Ferd Sports Bar and Grill, providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros in Champa Bay. Now, here's your host, Mike Rickard.
Well, I know your name. I know what you're known for, at least with your teammates, unfortunately. Get a little closer to the mic. And what's your full name?
Brady Perry.
Nice to meet you, young man, and I won't pimp you anymore on that topic. You want to tell your side of it, though?
It was just a meatball, you know. Second, I threw a ball my first pitch. I had to come back with a strike. I mean.
And you didn't think it was going to haunt you the rest of your life either, did you?
I didn't think the ball was going out.
Yeah, and you didn't think that your good friend was going to take it. You guys will have a reunion, your 50th reunion. You go, remember that time? And I took, of course you will. All right, so what position do you play? Pitcher,
right,
obviously.
Right field and pitcher.
Yeah. Well, maybe you don't play pitcher anymore after that pitch. I don't know. Right fielder and pitcher, right hand, left hand?
Right-handed.
Okay. What's your favorite memory going back to, you can go back to middle school.
Probably Cooperstown for me, when I went to Cooperstown.
Oh, really? You made it there?
Yeah.
Visited? Or you guys actually played there?
Yeah, we played there.
That is, tell me that story.
It was fun. We played, we got like,
I mean, that's a special memory, man.
Yeah, it was fun. It was like, we were there for a while, like a week. It was really fun. There was a lot to do. A lot of teams.
How old were you?
12.
That's an incredible, that's an incredible accomplishment. Yeah, you'll remember that, and you'll remember your teammates. Any of your teammates on this Hollins Royals team?
No.
None from that team? All right. Your favorite player?
Jacob DeGrom.
That's not a bad one, even though he's not a Royal. I mean, he's not a – I know some Kansas City Royals. Even though he's not a Ray, but he's a stud. There's no doubt about that. Anybody want to do a shout-out to my friend?
No.
Nobody?
Can't think of anyone.
Not one person?
My mom.
Good job. My God, I was going to hammer you. Your mom – or you won't get a hot meal and your laundry's not going to be done.
Probably.
Yeah, good call there, my friend. All right, you got a girlfriend?
No.
Mark, man, I'm going to get in trouble for this because that's my girlfriend. But we had three girlfriends already, didn't we? And you're the Lone Ranger. It's probably because you threw up that meatball.
Yeah. Well, and also, I probably have more money than all of them, too.
Okay. Oh!
There you go. I don't spend all my money on my girlfriend.
That's a good point. You didn't have to worry about Valentine's Day.
Nope.
That's another one. All right. All right, young man. Any aspirations after high school?
I want to be a lawyer.
I bet you will be a good lawyer. All right. Yeah. You've got that that cool look. Yep. All right, young man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Who do I have next?
Rod. Get right up there.
Come on up here, Rod. Don't be bashful. Step right up. We're talking to the... God, I have to stop myself every time. The Hollins baseball team, and they're the Royals. In fact, we go to the Pinellas County. Is that the Pinellas Publix? We go to the Pinellas Publix, and they sell Royals gear. I thought, I walked in one day, and I thought, what in the hell do they have Kansas City Royals gear here for? But that's how little I knew. But anyway, all right, young man, your name?
Rylan Bozenhart.
All right, Rylan, talk up a little bit more, buddy. Rylan Bozenhart, then what position do you play?
Catch.
You look like a catcher. You look like a no-nonsense kind of cat that takes care of any time there might be a little altercation. I think you might be the first one to get there and break it up. What year are you?
I'm 23, junior.
Junior, okay, all right. Talk just a little bit louder. Talk like you're on the field and you're pissed at guys.
I'm a junior.
There you go, man. You're a junior. And your favorite memory of your years playing baseball?
Oh, man, definitely in practice, hitting a bomb off this guy right here next to me.
Jeez, you guys are brutal. I can't believe I've never got anybody, their best memory is taking their teammate yard. And you're going to throw this in their face to the... And coach has been around guys like this for 35 years. That's just part of baseball.
Yeah.
And he probably loved the cat. Yeah. But taking him yard. And then, of course, is he a pitcher now?
Yeah.
And so you catch him, too.
Yep.
All right. Well, it's a good thing you guys have a good relationship because that's important. Basically, you're the quarterback, if you will, of baseball. And people don't realize how important the catcher is. But that's that is the brains of baseball teams. And I'm certain that they appreciate you. Coach appreciates you because you're almost an assistant coach on the field. Because you're keeping an eye on everything that's going on. You're listening to Coach Holler, John, and you're helping with the signs. You got to love that.
Yeah, it's great. I just love the ball in my hand. I love being the one to be in charge of everything. It's great.
Well, and the thing about catcher, you know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, you might stand out in center field for an entire inning doing nothing.
Yeah.
Or anywhere in the outfield. And from time to time, even at short, if you got somebody on the mound that's solid. At least you're in the game the entire seven innings. You're touching the rock. You're making decisions, and that's a lot more interesting, in my personal opinion, than some of the other positions. Anyway, favorite team?
I like the Rays, but I also like the Phillies.
The Phillies. Now there better be a family connection there.
I just like Bryce Harper, man.
You know where Harper's going?
Where?
He's going to Japan and Baylen.
Crazy.
And I hate to bash your favorite player, but I was with the Cubs organization, being in pro baseball, I go up to Spectrum, like they just changed the name, and he does not sign autographs for kids. He's brutal. So you need to get, next time you see him, give him a little tip, will you, from Tampa Sports Connection. Right. Say, Mike said, start signing kids' autographs. Yeah, but he's thinking about going to Japan for a period of time. I think he's just, you know, he's playing poker with the Major League Baseball. He's never going to Japan. Well, he might go to Japan later in life and make a lot of money. So, Phillies and Rays.
Yep.
Favorite player, obviously, Bryce Harper.
Yep.
And do you go to the Rays games?
Yeah.
Well, if you ever come to Ferg's, you guys come to Ferg's. I'm here. I got an office up there. Rays, we have a lot of fun. Don't wear Phillies gear. Rays are playing the Phillies. Don't wear Phillies gear.
I got you.
Could be a long day. Anyway, you want to do a shout-out to anyone?
Shout-out to my mom.
Good call.
She went through some cancer a couple months ago.
Well, God bless you, Mom, if you're listening.
Thank you.
And you were there for her every step of the way, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was playing baseball during summer. She told me to just focus on my dreams, and I did that. Tried to make her happy.
Well, that's a great mom in there, pal. I'm glad you did a shout-out to her. Anyone else?
No, that's it.
And the tough question. Girlfriend?
Nope, not right now.
No, I'm two for two. Three and two. Girlfriends, three. No girlfriends, two. We're getting there. Yeah, Coach, send someone else over here.
I'm not looking to get back on the air.
Yeah. You designate them, Coach. As I said, we're having a lot of fun down here. We've never had this many players, and it's an absolute blast. I saw you in the back with your jaws flapping. I don't know who you're making fun of. What's your name, young man?
Alex Miller.
Hi, Alex. What position do you play?
Second base.
Second base. I like second basemen. They usually can't hit. Can you hit? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just jacking around with you. This year you have been?
Been doing decent this year. Can't say the same for the last 2 years, but trying my best this year.
Bottom line, you're trying your best. And what year are you?
I'm a junior.
You're a junior, all right. Your favorite memory, and like I said, it doesn't have to be a baseball memory, but a sports memory. You can go back, you know, as far as you want. But you can only go back, maybe 17 years.
So last year, senior night, one of our favorite players on the team, doesn't get to hit a lot, comes at the plate, hits a rocket left field, foul ball. And then next pitch, same location, barely fair, first home run in his career.
On senior night.
Yes.
How cool! That's a cool story, man.
Probably the.
What's his name?
Nick Thompson.
He graduated.
Yeah, graduated last year.
Well, that is a great story. People probably went crazy, right?
We were more excited than he was. He looked like he did it before. He was calm, cool, collected. We were all going crazy for him.
Well, they tell you to act like you've done it before when you have an accomplishment, but something like that, he should have gone crazy. And I'm glad that you guys, as a team.
Yeah.
Appreciated it.
Yep.
Now that's a good teammate memory. Not I took him yard and and made fun of him for the rest of his life. Okay, favorite team?
Rays.
Good job.
Pretty boring.
Favorite player?
Well, was Altuve before everything came out, so I'd probably say Trey Turner now.
I like that. Yeah, Trey Turner. He's a hustler.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Well, second basemen typically are overachievers, hustlers, tough guys, you know, scrapping for those hits, and that's why I like second baseman. Now, shout out?
Shout out to my sisters.
Who do you start with?
My sisters, my brother, my parents, my girlfriend, grandparents.
Now girlfriends got a lead, 4-2. Four girlfriends to two to not.
Nick, Raul, Hector, we all still love you. We miss you.
Where's he at?
They all graduated, but...
But you know what? You guys must have a really close bond, like I said, because you're doing shout-outs to guys that graduated. You got rookies, freshmen, all bonded together. Only two seniors on the team. I'm very impressed.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming down, young man.
Thank you.
All right, we got time for one more, Coach. Then I'm going to talk boxing. You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, right down here at 13th and Central. And it's an absolute party down here. I've got about 20 plus from Hollins. They're going to be invited back. Mark Ferguson loves to see a crowd like this. But we're going to talk a little boxing with Christopher Young next. I want to thank Coach Rogers. He's getting all these guys down here. This is really cool. We do this each and every week now. It's our prep connection. So we're going to have high school teams. If you're listening and you have a team you want to come down, I'll make certain they come down here. We have a lot of fun. 13th and Central. We're right across from the Trop. And he's been here 29 years. And if you go to a baseball game, you know where Ferg's is at. So come on down and join us. And as I said, we're also we're streaming live on Hoovy.tv and RadioSt.Pete.com. Who do I got? I got a rookie. I got a freshman here. What's your name, young man? And talk plenty loud, like
Kyle Morrow.
Let him know your background. You'll find this a lot closer.
What position, young man?
Outfield and pitcher.
Outfield and pitcher. Finally got a pitcher. All right, so you're gonna have to give me memories when you were in. No high school memories yet. Well, maybe you played six games.
Nah.
You got a favorite memory?
Probably from. Get it.
Leave the kid alone. Talk loud into the microphone.
Maybe like in rec ball, we had this drunk umpire at Gulfport.
Okay, and, keep rolling.
And at the end of the game, it was like chaotic.
Well, I'll tell you what, I never thought I'd get that response. That's your coolest memory as a drunk referee in basketball?
It's the first one that came up.
You just set the bar for humor in our prep connection. All right, so how about a sports memory that you actually participated in, weren't impacted by some drunken buffoon?
Getting a foul ball.
Come on, man. All right, I'm going to give you, get three chances. You just did foul ball and a drunk referee. Now this one, you better raise the bar and talk a little louder. Act like a senior.
My first time pitching and I got walked off on.
Got anything positive? Coach, what'd you send this rookie over here for? I'm just kidding you. You know I'm just kidding you. All right, so favorite baseball team?
Oh, the Rays.
Yep. The Rays, good job. Your favorite player?
G-Man Choi.
I like that. And I love G-Man Choi. I thought all of you were going to say Wander Franco, and I'm glad you didn't, because it's obvious what a stud he is. Okay, and then want to do a shout-out to your family?
Yeah.
You better do this loud and do it right and better be positive.
My mom, dad, little brother, and, like, my 100 cousins in the Philippines, and my dad because he's good at radio, or he was with the Eagle for like 15 years.
Really?
In Florida, but then like he's been doing it for like 40 years all his life.
Really? Do you know anything about Manny Pacquiao, the greatest boxer in the world from the Philippines?
Yeah, I watch him most, like all of his fights.
Yeah, he's my guy. Well, yeah, Manny Pacquiao. He's going to run for president of the Philippines.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yep. All right, young man, I want you, the next time you come on, think about some positive baseball, you know, the drunken basketball referee. I love it, but this isn't Saturday Night Live. And but you did a great job. And good luck as a freshman. You must be, and these guys love you, obviously. I look forward to talking to you throughout your career. All right, grab Coach, and then I'm going to wind this up. It's been a lot of fun, fellas. I appreciate y'all coming down here.
Thank you.
Well, Coach, I got to tell you goodbye. You brought me a little mix of everything. You brought me some humor. You brought me some players that are going to be dissing each other till the day they die.
Not a doubt.
And you brought a freshman who you think wants to be a stand-up comic. And
we have a mixture here.
Yes, you do.
But the bottom line is we got a great group.
Well, you can see they love each other.
Very close.
And 30 and 35 years, you've seen it all. And
seen it all. Exactly.
It keeps us young, don't you think? I love this segment because I get to reach out to. And anybody that says that the young kids today aren't respectful, you guys have all been respectful. And I have had nothing but respectful teams come down from football to basketball. And I appreciate it very much.
Well, we appreciate you having us here. And, you know, anytime you need a plug-in here or there,
yeah,
or wherever.
We'll be inviting you back.
Feel free.
I want to get that freshman back here to.
Yeah, he might have some new.
Some new material?
Yeah, some new material by then.
All right.
Exactly.
All right. He's Ralph Rogers, 35 years strong, giving back to kids and the community. And I applaud you for that. And thanks for bringing the Royals down, my man.
Mike, thank you.
Absolutely. All right. The young man, the boxer, will you find him? He's got to be around here somewhere. Christopher Young. And as we continue, I'm going to have to move. You guys can still sit here. I'm just going to need two spots here. As you're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, we're going to talk a little boxing, and then we're going to talk to my man, Ray Kennedy, about 140, 145, and he'll call in. Ray's going to give us a, you know, he does Cup of Ray, but he also does, he does Bucks Report. But what I like more than that is he's always mobile, man. He's out there in the community, and I just appreciate his love for St. Pete growing up there. And now, as I said, my favorite topic. If you want, otherwise I talk loud enough. I've been talking about this young man to a lot of people. And came over from Tampa for me. I appreciate it. Christopher Young, hello, my man.
How you doing, sir? What's going on?
Great to see you.
Likewise.
The fact I just met you a week ago, I just knew from our conversation,
yes, sir,
that we were going to have a chemistry.
Roger that.
Yeah, and, you know, for everything you stand for and your passion for the game of boxing. Now, you're a young man, but I met your bride.
Yeah.
And so you're probably a little older than I think. But how many years have you been involved in boxing?
If you count my military time, count what I did as a teenager and then the amateur side, probably about 15 years. You count that.
15 years.
Yes, sir.
And you've been a fan of the Sweet Science?
Since I was about 5 years old.
Yeah, you and I talked about the trilogy, as they call it.
Yes, sir.
And which to this day I believe is the greatest three heavyweight bouts in the history of boxing, you know, and I'm very prejudiced because I'm a huge Muhammad Ali fan.
Likewise.
And I respect everything that Joe Frazier stood for.
Yes, sir.
And I felt sorry for him during that era because you had the incredible chemistry worldwide that Muhammad Ali was able to garner because of his brilliance and his being a humanitarian. And then there's a cat from Philly who's just working his tail off.
Yes.
And he's overshadowed a good portion of the time. Even when he beat Muhammad in their first meeting,
yes,
he was still overshadowed. And that's a sad thing. But they became good friends.
Yes.
Because Muhammad appreciated that.
Yes. Not only that, people don't remember, I may not know, that during Ali's exile, Joe Frazier helped him out financially. Yes, he did. And Joe was not as quick with it. And Ali was a fantastic promoter. But what Joe couldn't do verbally, he did excellent in the ring. And if you watch the first fight of the Ali fight in Frazier, that's the best you ever see Frazier.
By far.
I mean, Frazier kept on coming, and he made Ali miss. Had his hands down.
Which doesn't happen.
Exactly. I tell people, go back and watch that first fight. Everybody talk about the third fight. The third fight was brutal. I've never seen two humans batter each other like this and still come out the same. Neither one of those fighters came out the same. But the first fight, I mean, was epic. I mean, you had two undefeated world champions, two undefeated warriors that was able to put on a clinic, a fight for the ages. And they gave, and at the time it was the highest grossing fight because they both got paid $2.5 million.
That chump changed now, but that was major bank in 71.
Major bank. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So they both took a lot of damage in that first fight, and Frazier had to go to the hospital and spent 30 days in the hospital after the first fight. But
how long was he in the hospital? I remember quite some time.
About 30 days. Yes, sir.
Damn.
And they brought it up on Howard Cosell, and Cosell was interviewing them too, and things got a little chippy, and you saw that Ali and Frazier got into a little tussle on live set.
You think that was staged?
No.
Frazier, I don't think that one was.
That wasn't staged. Ali was playing. Frazier wasn't playing. Because
he was pissed.
Yes, because Ali called Frazier ignorant.
Yeah.
And then Frazier stood up.
Especially the Thriller in Manila, that was not cool. The Griller and the Thriller in Manila.
Yeah, yeah.
Muhammad, if I was Frazier, I would have bull rushed him right there.
Yes, but Frazier wasn't playing. And when Frazier stood over with Ali, he saw Ali's bodyguard come up. Eddie Futch came up. And then Frazier took his eye off of Ali and asked Ali's bodyguard, "Do you want some of this too?" Then Ali put him in a front face lock and went to the floor with it.
I forgot this story. You are a historian, young man. But those two, the great thing about it, and the weird bond, you just brought his name up, but we'll finish with Frazier and Ali. They both passed.
Yes.
And when they passed, they were essentially lifelong allies, opponents, and friends.
Yes.
And that's the thing. And everybody, every opponent of Muhammad's, I believe, revered him.
Yes, they did.
Even after, and there was guys like Larry Holmes. He didn't want to fight him.
No.
That was sad to watch. I couldn't even watch that.
I still can't watch that fight, and I have not watched that fight.
What was Muhammad, 38 then?
He was 38, but at the time, when he fought Leon Spinks the second time.
77.
Yes, you start to see a deterioration, but you did not know what it was. And then Ali had to take a lot of thyroid medication that made him look good on the outside, but he was shot in the middle. He didn't have nothing.
And then so, they had some CTE coming in then too.
Yes, and those two fights I cannot watch with Ali, the Holmes fight and the Trevor Burbick fight. I have not, still this day, have not watched the whole fight.
I haven't watched either. I watched them live, but then they did a docuseries, and I love Larry Holmes. There's a cat that was,
yes.
There's a cat that was disrespected as far as people think the greatest, you know. He should be in those conversations. His jab, I mean.
Beautiful.
And he used to be a sparring partner for Muhammad.
So, exactly. So if he was able to be in a camp with the greatest, you can't help but to learn something.
It's like a backup quarterback with Brady.
But not only that, Larry Holmes had the tremendous ability to recover. Think about the shots he hit. He got hit with Ernie Shavers. Or Ronaldo Snipes.
The acorn.
Oh, my goodness. The most devastating puncher in
Muhammad
history.
Muhammad used to rub his glove on top of his head.
Yes.
And then jab him. Acorn.
And that was a brutal fight for Ali, too. Because Ernie clipped Ali and almost, there was a knockdown in that fight. The referee did not call a knockdown. I want to say it's the seventh or eighth round. That he got caught with the right hand. Then all of a sudden, Ali's legs sort of slipped and the referee ruled it a slip. That was actually a legit knockdown. Ali was hurt.
You watch these in detail, my
yes,
man.
Sir. Yes, sir. I have a whole fight collection. I mean, I got crates of VHSs, black and white, Spanish speaking. I don't understand it, but I see what's going on, so I don't need anybody to interpret for me.
Oh, my God. He's Christopher Young. I met him a week ago Friday, and I knew the passion for the sweet science that I have. And I was in heaven. You know, I was involved in the Midwest so many years, but just getting, that was my first foray back into the boxing world last Friday night in Plant City, and Pro Box Promotions did a heck of a job.
They did.
And what did we have, 11 bouts?
11 bouts, and I'd probably say more than half of them were stoppages, but they were evenly matched. There were some upsets that happened. I mean, we had great fights with Mark Reyes. You know, Mark Reyes, you know, he from Tampa Bay area, but came up short with a guy that was extremely hungry. And he came.
Is that the guy from London?
No, he was from
Ireland?
Argentina.
Oh, okay.
And he came with a 3 or 4 day fight notice, and he came in the ring with nothing but tennis shoes on, because they called him on Tuesday.
He didn't have his gear?
He didn't have his full gear, but he was hungry. And with a fighter that has nothing to lose
and needs some going right
here. Hey, and he came in to fight. And it was a great fight. I think it was fight of the night, and Mark Reyes came up slightly short.
I wish I would have known that story. Yeah, because I saw his following he had, you know, from the Tampa area. Mm-hmm. And then who were the twins, the Puerto Rican kids?
Marcus Valle and forgot what his brother name.
His brother, the twins.
Yes. And they have a future.
Oh my.
They just gotta be managed correctly, and who knows, we may see them on the big stage.
Well, you know what? What I was really impressed with is they're showmen.
Yes.
And right now, the sport of boxing needs showmen. Don't you agree?
They need that and personality.
That's my point.
Yes.
Personality, showmen.
Something to cling on to.
Well, and to bring young kids in.
Yes.
And those were two, they look like they're 2021, right?
Yes, barely.
Yeah. And they had an incredible following.
Yes.
You know, the pride of the Puerto Rican flags. And I felt sorry for both their opponents. Those poor guys look like deer in headlights. Because it's a home field advantage, basically.
Yes.
But I was impressed with those two. The kid from Tampa that lost. And what I was impressed is there were fans there that were supporting them. And you and I have discussed the battle between, like tonight, there's UFC here and this place will be packed.
Yes.
The battle between UFC and the battle, you know, for the Sweet Science to maintain its relevancy with the young generation. And that's where guys like you come in.
Yes. The way boxing has been over the last 30 or 40 years, we went from everybody knew who the people were coming from the Olympics. We followed the American boxing. We followed, you know, the Leon Spinks, the Michael Spinks, the Ray Leonards, you know, the Magic Taylor, the Holyfield. We followed them throughout their career to go from amateurs to professionals. So by the time they make their professional debut, like a Ray Leonard, the world knew him. So now, and maybe I should not speak on this, but as a fight fan,
you can speak on anything you want.
I think the problem is with the business of boxing, as far as the promoters making everything pay-per-view. See, and then only the hardcore fans buy pay-per-view.
Or if you can't afford it, which I have a problem with, just like all pro sports.
Yes.
You've got the man that is putting some food on the table for his family, loves boxing, or baseball, whatever. They have basically locked out the common man, and I think that's a crying shame. Because the common man in boxing were the guys that were going to the gym.
Yes.
The working class, looking for something to get them off the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the kids. Well, they can't go to pay-per-view. They can't pony up 75. They can't say, hey, Ma, hey, they don't probably even have cable. Hey, Mom, can you put the boxing card on tonight? No. Yeah. And that's what the reality of the world, unfortunately.
Yes, because back in the day, you used to be able to go to ABC Wild World of Sports.
Yeah. You're not that old.
Listen, I was born in 1980.
You're a pup.
Tuesday night fights. So I was able to watch these up-and-coming fighters. And what made me fall in love with boxing, my father, I remember it was on a Tuesday.
He was a military man, right?
Yes, he was the Air Force, 20 years. And him and a group of his guys, they videotaped, at the time with VCR, the Hagler and Hearns fight. This is back in April. I want to say April of 86, 87. I'm not
two and a half rounds of war.
War. And these guys went at it and seen my dad's reaction, because my dad was very stoic. But to see him to be able to be animated, to watch these two gladiators going at it, I says, I got to watch this.
We've never seen anything like it.
No, sir. So then after that fight, I was hooked. And then my dad bought a Sports Illustrated VHS of Muhammad Ali. And watching my father laugh and said something about, Ali made a joke about Jimmy Ellis. To my, if Jimmy Ellis ever dreamed about beating him, he better wake up apologizing. So I'm like, who is this Ali character? So I started getting
Jimmy used to be a sparring partner too.
Yes. And from their own, watching Ali and watching George Foreman and Ken Norton And some people that were great fighters that don't get the recognition they have, Jerry Quarry. Jerry Quarry was an excellent counterpuncher with fast hands. Okay, Jerry Quarry happened to come up in an era of elite heavyweights, but Jerry Quarry today, if he was alive, would be the cruiserweight champion of the world right now.
I would agree with that. He could take a punch, but when he and Muhammad fought,
yes.
That was a three-rounder. That was Muhammad. Was that his first one back from his suspension or second?
It might have been the first one. It was in Atlanta, Georgia in 1970.
Yep.
And because no commission would grant him a license. And Ali was a little rusty, and Jerry Quarry got stopped on cuts.
Yep.
And I think about it now, Jerry Quarry, what's his fight was stopped on cuts.
he was like, what was the Chuck... Chuck Wepner,
yes.
Chuck Wepner. I saw Chuck Wepner fight in Omaha, Nebraska. The guy was still a bleeder. Anyway, okay, so we could talk history all day, and
yes,
we're going to do this quite often, but I want to talk about what you're doing now and what you have done in amateur boxing as a referee, and now you're doing it professional. Mm-hmm. And then I was so impressed because there's so many people that go to a card or about mm-hmm. and they don't really know what's going on. So you have this book,
yes, sir.
Boxing Referee and Judge, Quick Guide for Beginners, or smalls like me that I know it because I participated in it.
Yes, sir.
But, and you know what I like about it? It's short so I can read it.
Yes, sir.
It gets right to the point.
And it took me a while. It took me about two years because it was a whole lot thicker than that. A whole lot thicker. And I had to condense it because I had advice from a friend in boxing stating that Chris, they don't want to read like that. Just get down meat and potatoes. Because I'm a little more of a technical person, but I'm trying to reach the people from the amateurs that's trying to go professional, or just some individuals that may not know.
Their families following it.
Yes. So, and I believe it's much needed because all the things that we're hearing in the sport of boxing about people talk ill will about the judging or talk ill will about the refereeing, and what people don't understand that to be an effective judge, you have to block out everything because you hear the people in the crowd.
Yeah.
You hear the hometown crowd could punch or can throw the punch, and the fans will scream, but the punch never land. See, and when people at home, their views get sort of slighted because the person who's calling blow by blow is telling the story how he sees it, which can affect the people at home what they see. In addition, you may have three or four different camera angles that you may have an advantage over the judges that only see the fight from one particular position. So the best way to do it and how we were trained, we'll go to these conventions and they will take the commentators out and we will have to judge the fight accordingly to what we see. And then you'll see the difference in how the fight is really scored than how the fans or how the commentators view the fight.
We're talking to Chris Young right down here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and he's my new boxing wizard expert, and that's a great point because you've got everybody around ringside,
mm-hmm.
they're watching their angle,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things, and people are like, are they watching the same fight? You're right there, you're breaking
yes.
them up. I
yes.
mean, that's the reality of it.
Yes,
and you know, one of the things that. We're talking about Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yes.
He was a master. And I helped judge some fights back in the Midwest
mm-hmm.
and a couple of times, amateur and pro. But at the end of a round, remember how Sugar Ray would just a flurry.
That's 30 seconds.
He just fast as he could. And that judge's like, oh, he might have been getting his butt kicked for a minute and a half,
mm-hmm.
and then he would have a flurry.
Yeah.
And then the judge's like, Leonard. And everybody else is like, that's what happened in the Hagler fight.
Yes.
Hagler beat Sugar Ray Leonard that time.
I saw that fight many, many times, and every time I watch that fight, I have a different score. I made it 115-113 for Hagler, 115-113 for Leonard. The only thing I thought that hurts Hagler was the first two rounds when he came out orthodox, when he's naturally a southpaw. And I think if he didn't give up for the first two, three rounds, I think we had a different story.
I agree.
And I just think that also... And I'm a big Ray Leonard fan. That the reason why Ray Leonard won that fight because he wasn't losing the fight. It just because everybody thought from a 5-year layoff, Hagler was going to run through Leonard like a hot knife through butter. And it wasn't like that. And here's a little backstory. If fans don't know, what made Leonard fight Hagler was Leonard and Duran. Roberto Duran was at ringside at the Mugabe and Hagler fight. Durant whispered something in Leonard's ear. It's like, you know what? You can beat this guy.
And Durant told
Leonard this.
Sugar Ray that he could beat Hagler?
Yes. It was at the Mugabe and Hagler fight, which was a war. If you want to see a treat, watch that fight.
I watched that fight,
and
yeah.
And Mugabe with 26 wins, no losses, 26 by knockout, undefeated at junior middleweight, went up to middleweight to fight Hagler. And these boys went at it. And for some reason, Leonard saw something, and he exploited it. If you might question Hagler's chin, that fight, and Mugabe was, like I said, a knockout artist, and he just beat Mugabe into submission. And I said, well, it was a great fight. I think one of Hagler's greatest moments. Besides, people talk about the Hearns fight, but my favorite fight with Hagler is the Mugabe fight. These boys weren't playing.
That was a war.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this.
Yes.
What is, and you've got your finger on the pulse of things, what is the answer to get more kids involved? Let's just use St. Pete, mm-hmm. Tampa area. Because I saw some great boxing. I saw some fans supporting them, and I don't know what the gyms are like around here. I'm going to get caught up to speed quickly. Get the kids that are jumping into UFC that actually have more skills to be boxers.
Okay.
What do we need to do in this area to get these kids to embrace the sweet science?
I think it starts with the basics. We need to get away from being trainers and go from being teachers. Because
I agree.
If you remember how
that's obviously your mantra.
If you remember back in the day, that trainer was almost like a father figure. And they made sure the kids stay out of trouble. They made sure they were
Customato with Tyson.
Yes.
He was his dad, his teacher, his parole officer a few times. I mean, he had to take care of Mike Tyson, and he did that.
Yes, and also they made sure they did well in school. And there was any beef in school, take it to the gym. Or do what my dad used to do. He used to keep a couple of pair of boxing gloves in the car. Y'all want to beef? Y'all want to fight? Hey, let's go at it.
Your pops did that?
Yes, he did that.
My pops did something,
and it's funny,
comparable.
You see, I knew that. I didn't know about that story until after I got a little bit older. I used to carry a pair of boxing gloves in my car. Because if you say that was your best, baddest man in the neighborhood, I wanted to fight him. And so,
where did you grow up at?
In South Tampa. In South Tampa and everything, and it's what we did. We used to have little barbecues. The adults would come out. We have a smaller tournament, and we'll have like a three round tournament. Have a little judges doing amateur scoring, and we used to go at it.
Really?
So, seriously, I did that for about 3.5 years. We'll go to Palmacia. We'll go to Port Tampa.
It's a positive thing if fights don't break out in the periphery. That's
yes.
The key. You got everybody. You need everybody to behave.
Yeah.
And that's a positive interaction, and kids will grow up saying, "I want to do." Now I want to quit doing it outside here. Mm-hmm. I want to get in the gym and start playing.
Yes, and another thing.
Boxing, not playing.
That as far as boxing, once again, I'm glad they start to have boxing on cable TV now, like on your ESPN.
Well, they're having it, even Fox has it now.
Yes, which is a good thing.
Very
so
good.
That way, younger kids can inspire to be these fighters. And it's unfortunate that some boxers feel like they have to be a jerk. They have to be a play the bad guy role to fill seats. You shouldn't have to do that.
Be role models, man.
That's what I'm talking about. See, Joe Louis.
That's why I love Manny Pacquiao.
Yes, one of my all-time favorites. Because he does more outside the sport of boxing than he did in boxing. You know, his people have to tell him to stop giving his money away. I mean, he will.
Joe Louis?
Oh, Joe Louis.
It was unfortunate, you know, and he finished his life. Being a front man in a Vegas casino, but he was a great human being. That was a different generation, unfortunately.
Yes.
And he was taking advantage of it. And a lot of boxers from that era, when they retired, and you use the term, it's an old term, and it's probably not politically correct, but I'm not correct a lot of times. Punch drunk.
Yes.
You've heard that many times.
Yes.
But it's actually, unfortunately, it's CTE or it's Parkinson's.
Yeah. And that's why
we've come a long ways going from punch drunk to describing what the actual problem is for these poor people.
Yeah, and I got on a crusade because my heart goes out when I see people like a Winfrey Benitez when he's in the condition he's in, or a Gerald McClellan. And what I've done, I've wrote an article before I was doing boxing. I wrote a boxing article about we should have some type of care, some type of like a 401k, like a retirement plan for these boxers, because the boxers are looked at as contractors.
Kind of like the professional leagues.
Yes.
I mean, they have their alumni, they have their their organization. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing like that for boxers?
No, there's nothing like that for boxing. So what I did, after I wrote my article, I had a lot of people from New York, from different places, contact me. So I happened to be in D.C. And I was able to, had a meeting with Kathy Castor. And she saw...
Who's Kathy?
Kathy Castor, she's the congresswoman and in Tampa. And I was able to meet with her in D.C. And I was able to submit my proposal. She forwarded this proposal up to the Commerce, and I will have you. I will send it to you so you can take a look at it. To trying to get a vote, how can we get these boxers? Because everybody look at Floyd Mayweather, they look at Manny Pacquiao of getting these 20, 30, 40 million dollar fights. They are at 0.5% of what the boxers really get. Because if you think about how many boxers we have here, they cannot quit their full time job. Because if you're not in your top 10, you have to work for a living.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Give me an idea. And we'll stay on this topic. What kind of money were the guys getting last Friday night? Average.
Well,
it's been a while since I was in that game, so I know.
I don't have the figures in front of me, but I know how much they paid them starting. They may pay them $600 for four rounds.
$600 to come from across the country.
They may pay them a percentage. Now, if you're an opponent. They may pay them extra money, like, we'll take care of your flight. They'll take care of your hotel.
Okay.
They may pay you a little extra money to be the quote-unquote opponent. But the boxers, at the beginning, don't get paid well. Oh, mind you, you have to break your manager off money. You got to break your cut man.
Exactly.
You got to pay Uncle Sam. He got to get his cut, too.
You're getting peanuts.
So when I see these fighters that get in these $2 million, $3 million fights, they only get maybe half of that for us to take home. So there's nobody... And that's what I submitted, something that maybe the promoter, the manager, or a percentage of the gate should go to like a injured fighter fund or something they can live off of. Something like, almost like Social Security.
Because that's a great idea.
And once again, it got steam. I got to get back with Congressman Castor and see where is that right now. But yes, she sent me the form. I might be able to show you on here. And I was very, very excited.
Well, this is an incredible cause that you're thinking about because, unfortunately, you know a lot of boxers. Like Wilfredo Benitez is a great example.
Yes.
That guy was world champion and world class. And
here we go. I don't know if you can see that or not. But well, I can text that to you. And yeah,
text that to me. That's impressive, my friend. Very impressive, actually. So your thought is to create a retirement, if you will.
Yes.
For these boxers that, a lot of them, I bet you see a lot of homeless boxers that one time or another mm-hmm. were on ESPN. We're fighting on the big stage, and they've got health issues.
Health issues.
It's sad. And I applaud you, Christopher.
And not only that, you know, I wish everybody in the boxing game, I'm not picking on boxing because boxing is my first love. But I wish that we have more honest people in boxing because they may take advantage of boxers that may not know how to manage their money right.
Well, it happens with every sport, unfortunately.
And normally the people that will go towards boxing, they're not your upper middle class. Okay, they're normally individuals that's lower class,
exactly.
Trodden, so they may not have the...
That was my gym back in Iowa. It was all the urban kids and myself and kids that didn't have male role models. It was a place to collect them, and they'd all feel like they were part of something.
Yes. And actually, hopefully we can educate. If not, maybe because I know a few financial advisors that I can link them up with. But once again, I got to make sure I don't cross that boundary because of my position in boxing. But I got to tell everybody, I'm a fan first because it wasn't.
That's quite obvious. You're a historian. I'm going to have you on. And if you can't get I should have done that today for you. I didn't realize it was a little difficult. We had that car issue. I could have called you, but I wanted to see you again.
No.
Develop this bond because.
Yes.
We're going to be the spokespeople for the sweet science around here.
Yes, sir.
I'll just flap my jaws on the radio, and we'll put you on our streaming. In fact, we'll do a podcast, and we'll put it on our streaming channel eventually.
Okay.
And we'll just come over and talk boxing. We'll show some clips from the good old days.
Yes, sir.
I mean, nothing more than going back, a trip back in time talking boxing with me. I just love the sweet science.
And it's just
getting crushed by UFC right now.
Well, it just UFC have their own market. Currently, right now, when it comes to boxers, if I take the elite UFC fighter and take the elite boxer is making more money than the elite UFC fighter. It just, we just have to.
I just don't like fighting in a cage. It's like street fighting.
Well, I mean, to each his own. I am a fan of mixed martial arts before. I remember when there was no rules. Okay, and you had to fight three times in one night to get that $50,000 check. They came a long way. They became sanctioned. I respect the skill because it wasn't for people like Royce Gracie or Ken Shamrock or Dan Severn, because once again, I was a fan. Boxing, my first love. And like, MMA is more like a girlfriend, and boxing your wife.
So that's be careful there. I met your wife.
But that's how I look at it. And I do have seen a lot of MMA guys in the state of Florida that tries to cross over into boxing, and they don't do so well versus somebody who's done boxing all their life.
Of course not.
Because the stance is different, and the how they punch, nobody throws a correct punch anymore.
I used to have kids come to the gym, mm-hmm. and ask me to show them. We heard that you are the best around this area.
Yeah.
To learn how to throw a jab. So I put them on the bag, and then I would tell them, you know what, I'm going to get you in the novice division of the Golden Gloves. Mm-hmm. And big kids, that's typically big guys, that were playing college football at the local school. And then they said, oh, no, we just want you to teach us how to jab because we're going to get in the UFC. I said, get the hell out of my gym. I'd run them out of the gym. No way. All right, my friend. Well, I've certainly enjoyed this. We're going to do this much more often.
Yes, sir.
I'll reach out to you. We're going to have a conversation. And if you've got anything you want to promote, I'll be up there. You're going to be working the 25th?
No, I believe it or not, I'm working the 26th. There's a world title eliminator in Orlando, so I won't.
We'll talk a lot.
Yeah.
Keep me apprised of the fights. She and I are going to go over to Plant City to.
I may go there as a fan.
Yeah, the 25th.
Yeah.
Well, if you do, sit with me and we'll share stories.
Roger that. We can do that.
All right, my friend.
Thank you for having me, sir.
I'll talk to you in just a few minutes. I'll be off. I got to talk to my right hand man right now. And my roving reporter, Ray Kennedy. What's up, Ray?
Oh, Mike, how are you today? Great show as always, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. I could have talked. And he's sitting across from me, this Christopher Young, for a day. I don't know if you have a passion for boxing, but we're going back to the Ali and Frazier days, and just an absolute trip back in time.
Yeah, and I love how you use the analogy. It's, you know, there's always going to be an audience for different things, but when you come to the MMA and the UFC, and, you know, the people follow that, and, you know, I have no problem. I never have a problem with somebody liking something for a reason, but... You know, the sweet science, the boxing. You know, I don't know if you knew this, but my great uncle was actually John L. Sullivan. And, you know, I mean, I guess to go back far enough, wow. We're all related somehow.
Are you making that up?
We still have some paraphernalia in the family, but the Irish brawler, you know, still to this day, one of the longest fights, 23 rounds. They went on and on. And of course, that was back when they were using bare knuckles, but, you know, you scored it, you pointed it, you know, you knew where you stood. And you know, that's why I do like boxing. I'm not much of a big UFC or any kind of fight like that. I just love that.
Well, you know what? Then you're in the circle of trust.
Yes.
We'll let you in. All right. So, where are you today? I know it's family.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, well, the thing was, I was actually planning on being down there at the world famous Berg Sports Bar and Grill with you. But, you know, as we've gotten to that better place and we've left COVID behind a bit, you know, now suddenly we've got these weekend things. My son's in regionals with his band, and he was up in Palm Harbor University, and he, you know, started not feeling well and all. And, you know, you're not going to leave a kid hanging high and dry up there. So couldn't be down there with you today, so I went and picked him up.
But no worries.
He gets a chance to enjoy a little bit of the sports connection with me, too, and he's over here laughing, loving it, too.
Tell Tristan I said hi. Tell Tristan your bodyguard I said hi.
Tristan.
No wings today for Tristan. Get better, champ.
Yeah.
All right, so... I got a few minutes. Anything you want to highlight in the Bucks world that took place this week? I'm getting tired of hearing that Brady's looking somewhere else. That whole thing, Rodgers, Brady, that gets old. Any other news inside the Tampa Bay Bucks locker room that you want to share?
No, but I'll tell you what. Bruce Arians, you know, had some comments. Of course, the NFL Combine started this week. It started on Tuesday. It goes through tomorrow. Today it's defensive line and linebackers, but... you know, the Bucs, he says he's not looking for a run stopper in the middle. He's got Vita Vea, but he'd like to find someone with some speed and some giddy up out of the inside position on a defensive line. And, you know, it's just that, you know, I'm trying to figure out the combine moving forward because the NFL, you know, they're talking about taking this show on the road. It's been in Indianapolis since 1987. And now the NFL, like everything else, you know, across the world, they're figuring out that there's places like Dallas and Los Angeles that just like they've done with the draft now that they're going to look to take this combine on the road. I had Joshua Cole Allen from Pewter Report on Cup of Ray last night from down there at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and he says probably one more year in Indianapolis, but after that it's pretty much going to go to the highest bidder, and I guess we'll have to see how the NFL is going to try and do that. I can't watch combine like start to finish, but always like to pop in and see the 40s and see who's having a good performance and stuff like that. So, you know, other than that, you know, basically it's for the first week of the entire off season now, it actually was a bit of a quiet week.
Well, and that's why you're getting so much coverage on the combine, and unfortunately a lot of that has to do with these greedy owners in baseball, and that's for next week's conversation you and I can have. I don't even want to go there. I get so damn mad about it because it impacts the people that work in the concessions, that work. It's impacting the staffs of all these places. It already crushed every one of these communities that has spring ball.
Yes.
That just infuriates me. The Dunedins and the Lakelands and the Bradentons and the economic impact. You know, Clearwater can survive something like that, but a Dunedin and the Lakeland and these smaller places that host spring ball, they count on it. Lakeland is 55 million. I don't know the number up in Dunedin, but I know it's significant. We used to live just a few blocks from there. I mean, and the town's electric, and it looks forward to it. It's probably the best time of the year for these towns. And those owners didn't give a rat's you know what, and it just infuriates
me. And the thing was, you know, we've talked about this. Mayor Al Lang, St. Petersburg mayor, you know, 100 years ago, proposes to Major League Baseball that, you know, we've got the proper weather here for the, you know, baseball players that have been pretty much, you know, in all winter. Of course, these days there is no off season in any of our sports, but he proposes that this would be a perfect climate to bring them down. And like you said, you got the Blue Jays Dunedin, you got the Rays down in Port Charlotte, you got, you know, all the Port St. Lucie has the Mets, and every year these communities, not only for that economic push that they get from these, but you know, just to feel good, you know, get the pitchers and catchers warming up. And
February and March
like
are a party in those towns, looking forward to, you know, game day.
Yes, and at the end of the day, you know, the owners are going to try to keep theirs. The players are rightfully trying to get theirs, but, you know, we don't see any prices go down on the tickets for the fans. And so, you know, as we're left to kind of, you know, swing in the breeze, if you will, as we're trying to figure this labor stuff out, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, the people who matter most, the fans, the only concession we get is that there will be a season eventually, but we've got to wait through all of this and figure out what's going to happen there. And, you know, it's not a good story. It's not a great narrative, but we got to talk about it because at the end of the day, it's sports and it's local sports. And if it's local sports, you're going to find it here on the St. Pete Sports Connection.
All right, my man, I got to run. Winding down my first 3-hour stint in quite some time, but I survived it. I don't know if the audience did, but it's been a great Saturday. I'll talk to you this week. And you blew it. I brought you so much swag in the front seat of my car.
Oh.
I'm going to give it away to one of these guys walking by. All right,
get
man.
Get out of here, Mike.
All right.
Save it for me, brother. Save it for me. And I'll talk to you. Great show as always, Mike. You take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a great weekend. And that's the Ray Kennedy. He does a cup of Ray every day. Pull him up on streaming on him. He's going to be on Hoovy.tv. And he also does Bucks Report. He does a superb job. All right. So for Randy Grimes, if I can speak properly, Hollins Baseball, the entire army that showed up, Ralph Rogers, their head coach, Christopher Young, my new boxing wizard and historian, Ray Kennedy, Joe Bedreau, Big Ed on the controls up in Clearwater. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and wishing you and your families a fabulous week.
And Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.